The commissioned report from Miller and Chevalier was damning but conclusive. Malfeasance, unethical conduct, and utter disrespect for the tenets of the university. No surprise, then, that the Board of Trustees have referred A.J. Hogard and Malik Hall to the governor for expulsion from the team. You're listening to Can't Read, Can't Write. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Can't Read, Can't Write, the podcast that proves Spartans can talk. I'm Mike Jones, joined as always by the guy who cannot be introduced, Kevin Greck, and the guy who never says no to a G&T, Alex Plum. Wow. Gentlemen, it's good to see you. It's good to be here.
It's good to be together.
It's very strange seeing you this like this, one on each side.
Oh.
I would have thought you would have put yourself in them
squarely in the middle.
You truly are the Jeff Toobin of our podcast.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. It could only go one way, and here we are. No one has seen us.
Correct.
Definitely no one's seen us like this.
Yes.
No one's been able to prove that we're the same person or not the same person, because this is the first time seen together.
Yeah. And it's always really charming, I find, when podcasts just talk about insidery stuff, which like we're going to do a period
for
of time.
An hour today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
We do want to say thank you, of course, for everyone and for listening, watching. You can watch this on YouTube if you're so inclined. Greg has this fun thing happening.
You should go check it out.
And we could ask a small favor. Please share the pod with Spartans in your life. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. And of course, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and subscribe to the show on YouTube at Spartans Were Pod. Greg. Plum.
Yeah.
Plum, please share the structure of the show.
Oh, this podcast always leads behind the green wall. And when we go behind the green wall, we always let football lead. Unfortunately, today, we've only got beautiful things to talk about basketball, the sport that never, ever lets you down. Frankly, we should be leading with hockey. But alas, we'll talk about basketball. We'll talk about hockey. We'll talk about our own board of trustees because they're not fucking everything up. We'll head off Grand River then. We've got news from around the Big Ten. Interesting stuff. NCAA, boosters, investigations, pauses, Congress, big things. We'll preview the game when we play Northwestern, and that'll be an exciting preview, which Kevin always does a great job at.
And extra prepared for today.
It definitely doesn't say Purdue on the outline.
No. Called an audible there. But we'll end with your Twitter questions, which is why we know you're listening.
All right, let's head behind the green wall. And of course, we are, I think football gave us happy birthday tweets and an announcement about Big Ten Media Days. So let's spend an hour on that.
More importantly. Yes.
But let's talk about the Purdue game. And I think it's fair to say, it's a game that Michigan State lost 74-80.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Does that make you feel really good that you went on the road and you lost the number 2, number 3 team in the country by 6 points? I mean, that is probably what you should take away from this game, right?
We covered.
That's right.
And I
great
don't,
teams cover.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
don't. It, great teams win by but lose but cover. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think if you're going to lose, you got to cover.
Sure.
Okay. There you are. I think we're moving the goalposts here.
Are we? Are we moving the goalposts?
Yeah, well,
is the whole team moving the goalposts?
Yeah, A.J. Hogard certainly is. I guess my point is this. We if we had been losing the entire game, if we were down 20 at multiple points throughout the game and we came within 6 on the road, and they hadn't already pulled their starters or something, then maybe that's something to be proud of. This is a team, though, that has proved over the run of the season they can compete against the best programs in the country and beat them. We just choose not to.
Well, that was what Malik Hall said.
Oh, my God.
Well, all right. So before we get
this
there,
is like an Inception episode. We cover the end and then
the end.
No,
kind
we're
of
going right off
the bat. The memento is not what I'm meant to say.
Greg, you laid the table here kind of nicely because
real much.
Being in Michigan, I've been on the road for a handful of days now.
Yep.
And I had this conversation with my father who's sitting just off screen right now.
Hi, Dad.
Cliff.
About what would make me angriest. Mm-hmm. Because there is a world in which a win would actually make you angriest.
100%.
But there's the getting blown out to Purdue. And it's like, maybe then you say to yourself, this is the team I thought it was.
It's just acceptance then at that point. In the bargaining, and anger, so it's just acceptance.
I'm not sure, does winning make you, would a win have, because this is a team that showed up in a way that they didn't the last two games, because they would have blown out Iowa and Ohio State if they played like this.
Correct.
It is actually respectable to lose by six on the road.
Against a team like Purdue, absolutely.
Who has a big man who is the National Player of the Year last year and almost certainly will be again this year.
Sure.
And we don't have that spot, right? Like, so, and you saw a team
that can
do...
Well, I don't know. That's not true. We have a big that is plus 16 in the box plus minus.
And Zach Edey
was plus 16.2 in the box plus minus. So those are pretty comparable. So maybe we do.
Maybe we do.
All right. We're going to get to that in a second. But I do... We chatted after the game.
We don't talk about anything.
I was not calm after this game.
Mm-hmm. I would say unwell.
Ah, that's
and,
good.
And also, if you want to talk about...
He was retching.
Yeah. After beginning at the end, I was angry that Tom gave up at the end.
You're saying he Juwan Howard in the last 6 seconds.
Ten seconds.
Yeah, they called off the dogs. They didn't do any game-extending hijinks.
No, because... Because like Malik Hall, it was just good enough.
Yeah.
We came and we gave it the old college try, guys. Isn't that good enough?
I mean, we can talk about Malik, but let's dig into that. Because there's a couple things that are the disparity in this game, right? So
I have one.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mr. Ajay Hogarth.
Oh, Lord.
Mr. University Wiener himself.
Not strong enough.
My man, Ajay Hogarth. On the day, 2 for 11 from twos, and you know,
long
I guess
to you,
long, we're not there yet. That's the Tyson Walker. We're getting there. And only 50% from three, 1 for 2. But bro, basically didn't have it until the game was over. And when your senior point guard goes on the road in a winnable game. Goes 2 for 11 from the floor.
Yep.
It is disqualifying.
But you can say that, but Tyson went 5 for 15. It's not like he had a lot better day.
That's true.
But so then now put that experience or that statistic in the framework of an entire season. And I think you can forgive Tyson Walker for going 5 for 15 in a game on the road against the number two program in the country.
He has been trending down, but yes.
Well, fine, and we have our own things with him. But this is consistent for AJ. Mm-hmm. 2 for 11 performance from the field is what I've come to expect from him. 33% from the charity stripe is what I've come to expect from AJ Hogarth. This is what his senior leadership offers us. He is the worst point guard in MSU history.
Well,
no.
In the Tom Izzo era.
No.
You're prepared to speak about point guards you weren't alive for.
There could be child predators who were point guards.
Yeah. You could just go with uncle murderers.
Literally.
We don't have to make stuff up.
Truly, he's the worst. And
Tum Tum Naren just subscribed to the podcast. Thanks to you.
Correct. Welcome. Glad you're here. Give us a Twitter question. I don't know what to say. I truly don't. Because I think at the end of the day, the statistics are one thing, deplorable. But
stats are for losers, so
fair enough. And we can't read them anyway. But I think more to the point is his utter inability. And this is where I want to go to Malik, but I won't yet because I think we've got some more we're going to talk about. But this is where what's coming in the locker room, what's coming out of the locker room, what's being said to inspire and cajole and berate and hold the guys accountable to get them to perform at their best is not coming from AJ Hogarth. And how could it when his performance is this lackluster? How would anyone respect a thing you'd have to say?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my thing with AJ. And I, you know, so in these statistics, we could talk all day. He has to be as angry at himself. And why no one will name him, you know, I get why people don't use their names on Twitter because it's the humane thing not to do. But I've refused now, and people should just start calling it out because I mean, he should quit.
The stats, though, on, and I want to pull it up now, though, because someone pulled this.
You're going to look at the lineups?
Twitter.
Because, again, we'll remind everyone and Tom Izzo that he promised to look at the stats per lineup this year. That was going to be one of his.
I believe he also said
sort of his stretch goals
for losers.
As he crumpled the paper up and threw it at Graham Couch's face.
So, this made the rounds on Twitter. The box plus minus for a Hogard Walker Sissoko lineup versus a Hogard Walker Booker lineup. Now, 300 minutes played on the Sissoko lineup versus a mere 53 on the Booker lineup.
Okay.
But the plus minus for the Sissoko lineup is -8. The plus minus for the Booker lineup is +26. Yeah. At some point in time, there's enough of a difference that you can say plus minus is a flawed stat, but like truly shove it. Other things, obviously raw points, there's a differential because there's been more minutes by
it's fair.
But points per minute, 1.7 versus 2.3. The at the rim field goal percentage is a whole 10% higher with Xavier Booker on the floor because he spaces the floor.
And that's, oh God.
And also because the ball doesn't just bounce off of his hands and dribble out of bounds.
Effective field goal percentage. I'm sorry, three-point field goal percentage is 16% higher. Effective field goal percentage is 9% higher. And effective field goal percentage percentile moves from the 37th percentile to the 98th percentile with Booker on the floor. So in this game, Xavier Booker plays 12 minutes, goes 3-for-6 from the floor, 2-for-5 from three-point land, 3-for-3 from the charity stripe. Now, 100%. Does he pick up a mere 2 rebounds in 12 minutes?
And does he get owned a few times on defense?
Fine.
Sure. Sure.
But the problem with this...
But you know who else got owned? Every other center.
More well, the point. Actually, they didn't score any points.
I kind of think Coop held his own better than maybe anyone.
Coop did play a good game. 16 minutes.
6 points.
Yeah, 6 points, 2-for-2 from the floor, 2-for-2 from the line, but 5 boards.
But his job is to sort of just keep Edie in check as much as you possibly can.
Yeah,
I you were really upset in the we talk after the games. And you were invited.
I don't get.
But you were really upset about Booker not playing down the stretch again, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I put this on A.J. Hogard.
Oh.
100%.
Sure.
With a little sprinkling of Tyson Walker.
This is different than the Ohio State game. Yep. The Ohio State game was on Tom for not putting Booker in.
Correct.
This is a, I think, more Booker, maybe not down the stretch, but just generally speaking, more Booker would have been a net positive.
Yeah. But we're getting some of it. I mean, to be fair, I mean, double the minutes that Mahdi had, which is great. So the trend is in the right direction. Why it needed to happen at the end of February, we'll never understand.
I mean, I think what's frustrating, in fairness, is that clearly the player development narrative that Tom has written is accurate.
Has deluded himself into believing.
But self-evident. But Booker, we saw him earlier and we all LOL'd at the cries for him to play more.
Right, sure.
Because he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
But now we're all watching the same game where he clearly is making a difference.
Yeah.
And if you, I just don't know how you go against the National Player of the Year with a total void for scoring at that position when he is so good. Like, let's give credit where credit's due. Zach Edey is an exceptional basketball player.
Yeah.
So to claim that anyone's, unless you brought Xavier Tillman back, like, are you going to stop him?
No.
So you need to get production out
of him. You have to score. The diagram, the shooting diagram for A.J. Hogard it's enough to make you apoplectic. It is inconceivable how anyone could be as consistently inconsistent at key areas on the court. How, when confronted with anything really in the two-point range, really within, I don't know.
If he jumps other than a layup, it's a terrible
decision. It is only 0% chance of likelihood. how do you keep doing? Has anyone ever confronted him with facts or figures? Does he know what these diagrams are?
Analytics are for losers.
Yeah. Well,
let's look at one. You brought this up earlier. MSU was 9 for 32 on mid-range twos. And 9 for 21 on three-point attempts.
Yeah.
Did you know?
That's not good.
There's an interesting thing about basketball.
Yeah.
Three-point attempts are worth 50% more points than long twos.
So if you take a step back. Yeah.
And yet we insisted on shooting 10 more of them and shooting significantly worse.
Yeah.
We've been long overdue. I think last year we talked more about the long twos than we've talked about them this year.
Well, we were better at them last year.
But we are so overdue for having a conversation about the long twos. They are killing us.
And I think, listeners, there's, you know, there is a world you can go to that is analytics are for losers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Nate Oates has perfected this down at Alabama.
I think that's right.
You either shoot next to the rim, like we're talking dunks or like layups, or you're shooting from 3-point land.
There's also, if you're an accessory to murder, 100% chance 100%
chance of playing. Yeah, so that's right.
Those are the two major analytics.
I wish Chris Beard was also a fan of this to be really triple down on it. But the important thing here is that when we talk about effective field goal percentage, that is an averaging out that happens about the value of a shot. So a three-point shot inherently has more value, even though it's a lower percentage shot, because you make up those points.
You make up the difference.
It's like a full beer inherently has more value than an empty beer.
Yeah. So the beer me as well, please, sir. The challenge is that when we're not, when A.J. Hogard is not,
they're right up top there. You're so tall. Are you so tall? You can't see them.
In the back, I can't see them.
Anyway, a long two, a jump shot two, is as a percentage as challenging in some ways as a 3-point shot. Because we're talking about a foot of a difference, but has lower return on investment in the sense of points.
Cliff Jones, everyone.
Cliff Jones.
Thank you.
Off camera.
Anyway.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
It's
poor Michael.
It is worth talking about. No. It's we've talked about it last year, and it's worth revisiting when you see the volume numbers about that. You know, some of the complaints about Tom Izzo's assistant coaches.
Who?
Which is also to say, if you're complaining about Tom Izzo's assistant coaches, in fairness, you're complaining about Tom Izzo.
Correct, 100%.
So, John Beilein at one point in time, who's a mastermind of offensive coaching, was forced to hire a new staff.
Yeah. Because he didn't. He had to after he took them all out into the wood chipper. This is the thing that Tom refuses to do. And so this is where I want to go. And I know you're focused on actual things, but the ultimate issue for me, at least with Tom Izzo, is the Gabe Brown.
The what?
Wasn't it Gabe Brown?
Yeah.
That's the gay Brown experience in the tunnel that he was caught. No, you know, Gabe walking with Gabe Brown, getting in his ass, and it was on ESPN.
Aaron Henry, I think, also.
Oh, was it?
There was a game.
I remember the game.
Henry in the tournament against LSU, I think.
And to my mind, that's the inflection moment where someone got to him and was like,
you can't do that anymore.
You can't do it anymore. And Tom truly does not know any longer how to coach the program, because these guys are playing in a way that would make you think that Tom just sits there and just goes red in the face and it just like is destroying his arteries. But he refuses because he's lost the ability. He doesn't know how to act with authentic rage any longer. And everyone who's come before for decades has said, we know that Tom talks to us that way because he loves us, because he wants the best for us, because he's calling us out on our bullshit so that those of us who want to get to the league one day will get to the league. Those of us who simply want to be developed humans who understand what accountability looks like, we'll have that opportunity for ourselves. And I think ultimately, if Tom can't figure out how to either say, fuck the media and I'm going to just be an asshole until I get fired, or he needs to resign, because this is not
It's been, and this coach. Has been years of him doing it. And in fairness, because he's set, he's kind of been ramping up to the refrain that we're getting now from him.
It's always the coach's fault. So, can't blame the players. Can't blame the players.
But it wasn't. It was the COVID year, the fanless year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the Cassius COVID year that Rocket Watts. There was a story that came out about Rocket Watts where Tom like laid into him,
mm-hmm.
and Rocket got all sullen and pissy,
mm-hmm.
and Tom's like, "Are you pissed at me?"
Yeah,
and Rocket's like, he's like, "No, are you pissed at me? Like,
feel something?"
And he's like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Well, then say that."
Yeah,
like because the thing that's missed in these moments that are captured. And you see this with the development of players over the time. Because you can see freshmen will do the arm around Tom, and then he's like, "No, you haven't earned that.
You haven't earned that yet."
But there is still the consistency of if you think I'm wrong,
yes,
then say I'm wrong.
Then challenge me.
But like, and we can have a disagreement.
Yep.
But we're gonna talk through.
You're gonna come correct and actually be able to defend your position. This just sullenness. This. Moroseness, this putting the head down, they're just not fucking trying. And that for me is what kills me because that's AJ Hogard 100% all over his face. Just doesn't get, won't be pushed.
But in this game, I think what was more frustrating, and we can now talk about Malik Hall, is that they did play well. They hustled. Mm. This was a good team effort, maybe a poor shooting effort, but they played connected, they pushed the ball, they hustled. It came down to they didn't shoot well, and Purdue got 1 second, please.
Their white boys hit all their threes.
There's that, and then, so the white boy three, and then the Purdue getting twice as many free throw attempts as Michigan State. And
well, that's Zach Edey drawing 16 fouls.
And I got to say, this is where...
Not an exaggeration, by the way.
Zach, 16 fouls.
Zach Edey does not need... The guy just... Physically, structurally, esoterically, does not need the official support. He does not need the official's support. Anyone who's refereed at a high level knows there are key players whom you have to protect. Okay? In a soccer game, at least, you're refereeing a game, you know who the all-star is, center forward, center mid, whoever the distributor is, or whoever is the big shot taker, he's the guy you just have to watch out for. Doesn't get any special permission. You're not calling fouls against him if he commits fouls, but you are watching guys to take advantage of him. Late tackles, things like that. So one can
understand. Why does Tyson not get that treatment, by the way?
Well,
because he gets
the reverse treatment.
And so one could think like, okay, the referees are going to be making sure that people aren't ganging up on Zach Edey. But the size differential alone would require even the most biased referee, I think, would struggle. To like objectively call the sheer number of fouls that get called, it is some of those it's physically impossible for him to draw that much contact
and not at least minimum give it back
and that's the point for you to have to give a preferential advantage to a player that you're watching to protect. There has to be some deficit or some weakness that you're trying to code for. Zach Edey doesn't have that. He is physically imposing. He can move players around at will if he.
Did you see the clip of him and Malik?
No,
because they reviewed this for a hook and hold. Oh, so it,
you're talking about that. We can actually demonstrate this
for a camera.
So Malik is up, and then Zach Edey comes
around the head.
Truly, and Malik gets called for the
elbow in the face.
But Zach Edey's the one who's like in his chin. Yes.
It was more like one of the
and that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it.
I don't know. That's what I'm just saying. It's inconceivable. There is one understands a certain penchant for protecting a key player. There is a completely other side of the coin, though, which is he hasn't merited any of this. The kid scores so much. It's just not intuitive, and the Big Ten officials this season have been uniquely bad, uniquely inconsistent, and uniquely bad. But they have been consistent on the season at being the sixth guy on the court for Purdue, and that is
we saw Chris Collins get ejected for
calling it out, and he was right too. He should have called it out much earlier in the game.
One final thing. I'm kind of taking the temperature of the room. Might be moving on.
Yep.
Last thing that bothered me about this game. I want Braden Smith on my team.
Yeah.
I don't like it that he's on other teams. Yeah, I want him on my team. He seems like a perfect Tom Izzo point guard playing at Purdue right now. It was another upsetting development of this game.
It'll be a real shanda when they lose out in the first weekend.
I mean,
we have that.
We'll hate that for Matt Painter and the team.
Yeah. I mean, it's... We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but it is... Senior night's coming. Oh. And
it's going to be a different kind of cheering on senior night.
What's tough about it is that, you know, Jeremy Fears isn't playing right now. Mm. And I think everyone's...
Why?
Because he was shot.
Okay.
Has that been reported?
I don't think so.
Some companies don't like to mention it. Yeah. I think at this point in time, we would have seen Jeremy Fears start multiple games.
That's fair.
And what's going to be weird about senior night is that if this season had progressed ordinarily, we would have been... I'll speak for me.
Yeah.
I'd be a little bit more at ease about that transition.
Mm-hmm.
What is concerning is that I don't know, and none of us do, how Jeremy Fears is going to come back.
Sure.
And you hope that he's the player that we saw.
Yep.
But again, he was shot.
Shot in the leg.
Which I've heard a leg is important for playing basketball.
Yeah, you got to run.
Yeah.
and jump from time to time.
Yeah.
Is there a shot, particularly from the two-point range that we enjoy doing with the jump involved?
Well, frankly, for him, then it won't matter because we don't need to make those ones.
Yeah.
Baskets aren't important.
We're priming the fan base for missing all of those shots, so that's good.
Yeah, it'll be
good for you, Jeremy. You just come in and pay all that
whatever off. The fuck you want to do.
So, I don't know. We've seen from A.J. Hogarth, though, that at some point in time, this can turn on, and maybe when the lights are bright, like, that's what happens. How are his assist stats?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. 4, I think, on the game. But
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not good. But I got something I really need to complain about. Because I don't think I've complained about it.
Let's go. Let it rip.
Wisconsin was the superior hockey team on one of those two games. And our hockey team should be ashamed of itself.
Yes, let's neg them in.
For having dropped that second game.
Any games.
Why?
Unacceptable.
Why?
You won the first
one. You win the first one and you lose the second one?
You win the first one and clinch the Big Ten championship, which we're all very excited
about.
Sure,
yeah, but let's focus on the second game.
I'm excited about it because if you can't win the second game, you might as well have lost the first game, which means you didn't clinch it, which means we haven't earned this championship.
Right. You clearly phoned it in. You thought, I'm going to rest on my laurels.
What laurels?
It shows a lack of toughness. It's unbecoming of a program.
Let me tell you this. If there's someone who should be fired into the sun,
it's
Adam Nightingale. Get his ass out of the program. What has he done? If you can't win against
a top 10 hockey team. I don't know.
Shameful, frankly. I wish AJ Hogarth played hockey so that we would have a more appropriate hockey team.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If AJ Hogarth was on the hockey team, we'd have lost both those games. Proudly.
Probably.
And then Malik Hall would have come in the next day and been like,
said, you guys,
we give it a shot.
Give it a college try. That is.
We didn't actually end up talking about Malik and his quote, but that's fine.
We'll run back to it. I'm sure there's going to be a Twitter question.
We can bring it up.
Asinine things people say.
Quotes when we get into the board trustees stuff, and we can just slip it in there somehow.
So, in sincerity, MSU hockey, as much as you can raise up from the grave, has done so.
Yeah,
winning a Big Ten championship in Adam Nightingale's second year.
No, unbelievable.
And it looks to be, knock on wood, looks to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament.
Potentially.
Like, you'd like to see a quality performance in the Big Ten tournament, which we will be hosting.
All the games for that.
Hurt.
Yep.
That can't hurt over at Mon Ice Arena.
And they include, if the seeding holds, mm-hmm. the higher seeds win, another game against U of M at Mon in the Big Ten tournament.
That would be a real shame to... Because guess what, folks? We've got some things to say about U of M's program off Grand River. But it'd be great. It'd be great. So congratulations. And I guess it's maybe worth revisiting. This now makes multiple non-revenue Big Ten championships that have been accumulated in the last few years. Not all of them, as much as we've been praiseworthy of Allen Haller, not all of those folks have been Allen Haller hires.
Yeah. Mike Rowe was not. Give Beekman the credit he deserves.
Yep, Beekman hired Mike Rowe.
Beaky boy. Jeff Hassler, the soccer program.
Something tells me Haller was probably pretty involved in those hires.
If we can say... Listen, we can be really creative with who made what hire,
but
the narrative can change.
It's Bill Beekman in those ill-fitting pants. That's Bill Beekman's hire.
Robin Fralick, just to get back to this, secures double bye in the women's tournament in just her first year.
Well, I don't know what that is because, to my knowledge, double byes aren't happening. There was a double bye on the table for Michigan State men's basketball, and then they kissed their pants.
Oh, that's what it was.
Instead of kissing the Spartan logo this year, they're going to shit on it.
Yeah,
Cleveland Steamer situation.
But AJ's still going to kiss that pile of shit at the end for whatever reason.
He's been setting this.
He really has been.
What's the philia when you're
scatophilia? Isn't it?
He's been setting this whole season up for this moment. Now it pays off for him. Wily son of a gun. He was playing us the whole time.
I like how primed you were on scatophilia, both of you. Next up, we've got
Speaking of scatophilia, the board of directors.
Trustees, as it were.
Oh, board of trustees, as it were.
You're going a little too close to home on that one.
No, I love my board. Love my board if you're listening. Love my board.
So who wants to recap this here?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, me. I should do the law-related thing from the law firm.
Oh,
right?
What? Miller and Chevalier?
Chevalier. So, devotees of the pod will recall that one Brianna Scott levied some accusations against a couple members of the Board of Trustees. Then, and it is then, Chair Rima Vassar and Dennis Denham.
Yes.
So, the university, to the tune of several hundred thousand dollars, greater than half a million, went ahead and brought in a third-party counsel to investigate these findings.
A firm I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's strange that this is the time that they go to do that. There were
probably
some...
because the first nine firms were like, "Duh, no, no, like, thanks."
But we have the punch card. we've come to
you. Have to say yes.
So many investigations.
You have to say yes to this.
Some of these findings were found to be false. Basically, Rima Vassar can be made a pawn in a advertisement for Brian Masalim, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because, and they should have just put this in the report. I encourage you to go read the report, but they did a lot of like hand-wringing over this. But the truth is, it just doesn't matter. And that's why.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be so up your ass to think this one page, you know,
glossy
advertisement ingrains Detroit business / the LSJ is going to affect anyone.
Yeah.
But it is stupid for her to be in it.
Mm-hmm. It's debasing.
But it should be. Some of the more interesting things in the report is that it was found that both Dennis Denno and Rima Vassar participated in bullying and conduct unbecoming of being trustees.
Sure.
We know this because meeting with student groups, they were recorded.
Duh.
Coaching student groups with how to complain publicly about the administration and encouraging them to who was his name? The chair of the, faculty, Jack Lipton. Faculty Simpton. You know, to go to the press about how he is actively racist. Because
can I say this? If you're going to coach students, and this is for anyone at home. Yep. If you're going to coach students on how to undermine the people you hire to do the job, at least give them factual information. This was the real humdinger for me. Rima Vassar actually giving false, inaccurate information to the students.
We talked about
it is as if you were setting them up for failure. So make the students fail at the work you've set them up to do to undermine the people that you hired to do the job that you're accountable for seeing gets done.
Yeah, she told them that the administration had lost MSU its accreditation, which was untrue.
Not true.
She also put someone up at Wayne State for sending Trustee Scott a letter with featuring a racial slur and some other, you know, pejorative terms, delivered from a Wayne State envelope.
Yep.
So ridiculous throughout. And then there was this, you know, so basically these two are the worst. And there is a particularly good quote in here that I'd like to read about the two and about their conduct. Interviewees noted that, quote, concerns around the fear of retaliation are mainly from Vassar. No one wants to be subject to Dennis Dano's wrath, but no one thinks it's a career ender. Which is
indicting.
One of the greatest, the idea that a law firm saw fit to put that quote on page five, in right up front in the executive summary.
Yeah.
Just to personally and professionally humiliate you of people think that you're a petulant child, but you don't have the juice to actually really affect anyone.
Yeah, you're just a loud schlub.
Is such a humiliation that, like, the idea that you do this for free.
Yeah,
it's
real undying.
It's wild.
It feels like people would be rather be confronted by the Wells Hall preacher, or would rather not be confronted by the Wells Hall than Dennis Dano.
Correct.
Like,
yes, yes, that guy has more real.
You can really ruin chutzpah. Your day in a way that Dennis Dano is Dennis not Dano's capable just of.
His oversized tennis shoes. I mean, my goodness.
So, in fairness to student groups, a few of them were interviewed in this. They indicated, you know, after being coached, that actually they realized maybe they were being taken advantage of by these two.
Yep.
There were, since then, certain student groups have noted they didn't participate in this, and maybe their point of view was not included in the report. Yep. But overall, just another good old-fashioned humiliation for the MSU Board of Trustees.
Well, in fairness, I don't know that this was a humiliation in the sense that it was a recapitulation of a prior humiliation that hopefully is leading to progressing past some humiliation. Yes.
So last night, the board met. Yeah. There were three or four items on the agenda. Censures for Rima Scott and Dennis Dano.
Rima Vassar.
Dennis Dano. Also one for Brianna Scott.
Yep.
Brianna Scott's censure has effectively no teeth.
No teeth.
But the Rima Vassar and the Dennis Dano censures carry with them losing their board positions, their committee assignments.
In the board positions, to be clear, isn't being on the board because they're elected officials.
Correct.
But it's any powers that they have on the board.
Correct. And that included Rima Vassar being board chair.
Yep. Which she already resigned because she thought that,
you knew that was going to happen.
Yep.
So at least she does know how to be on a board a little bit.
Well,
but I think she thought that was going to get her away from being referred to the governor, which was another part of what happened.
But that was going to happen.
Well, but that's the point. And I think another good example, Dennis Dano, you dumb idiot. You lackey.
Yeah.
You absolute stoneless maroon. Totally
stoneless
following maroon. In the footsteps of a real imbecile. And here, what do you have to show for it? She tried to get her own way out, per usual.
Yeah.
And was just going to let you, with your dumb face, go right in front of the governor. Now, I do want to say this, because I read the law on this. The governor's power to remove these individuals after review.
You are the only one reporting this, by the way.
I am the only one reporting this.
I may be the only person that actually read the state law. Constitution.
The governor's authority, so you're hearing it here first. The governor's authority to remove them only it takes effect in the event that the legislature is not in session. If the legislature is in session, the House of Representatives actually have to have they have to develop articles of impeachment, and the trial would have to happen in the Senate.
But the good news is they go out.
That's a wild difference. Can we take a second? That's a wild differential.
Wild differential. Well, no. So that spells out the policy. If they're not in session, the governor does have to hold a public hearing where she has to be able to receive
public feedback,
and she has to be the person presiding over the session. And after that, she makes her decision, and she just has to give a report to the legislature. That's it. It is wild.
That is big time hashtag worth it.
Yes. Like,
it's so, almost as if the writers in the 70s, right?
Oh, we're like,
it was the state council. Yep. Like, this will never happen.
Yeah.
It barely matters.
Yeah, we'll just make a...
Can you imagine this is a necessary thing?
The governor's never going to want to hold a public forum she has to chair herself.
If that was ever a problem, they would just resign. Mm-hmm. That's how boards work.
But they would have.
It's a real Leslie Knope situation. Oh, it feels totally. She's going to have to sit there and... But that is the right answer.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. I don't know what to say beyond this other than the board is embarrassing. And I'm thankful for these changes that are coming. But we should shout out some things before we move on. We did indeed have dinner, and I think maybe there's a knock on the door from the purveyor of said place.
Of said dinner.
But we dined at Mama's Merc and Tile and Eatery this evening, and it was fantastic.
Irony.
Beverages are on the menu. Literally, folks, the knock on the door as we moved into this was from the owner herself.
Mama herself.
And it was fantastic. Cannot recommend the signature cocktail menu enough.
Quite good.
We'll be tweeting it out. But it was really, truly fantastic for the evening. And cannot recommend
Listen, they've got the Lansing, they got a Lansing favorite. They have an olive burger on the menu.
Yep.
All right. So if you, peanut barrel's not your style, what's the one you took me to?
Dagwoods.
Dagwoods. If the Dagwoods, which... Well, Dagwoods is the kind of like...
Maybe if you've had too many Dagwoods and you want to... Yeah. Just... You just want to mix it up a little bit.
You want to go down on 127 and then over on 94.
Yeah, if you're in the Grass Lake area, you know, get your olive burger from
Mama's. The greater Ann Arbor area, I'm not aware of an olive burger.
Well, how could they?
Yeah.
No, this is a special treat. This is a slice of East Lansing in Washtenaw County. You owe it to yourself and your family. Progeny.
Your progeny. You owe it to your God.
Yeah. Get your ass to Mama's.
But in sincerity, great food, lovely vibe, and the drinks were fantastic.
Yeah.
We would normally shout out listener Mike Jones, but I think tonight we're just shouting out Miller Lite
and Cliff's Gin and Tonics.
And Cliff's G's and T's.
G's and T's.
We'll come back next week with some listener Mike Jones liquor. It's always fantastic. But listener Mike Jones did say he's going to stop by Mama's Merc. So
next time he's in Grass Lake.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk off Grand River, and I'm going to step away as you all talk about John Sanderson.
So John Sanderson, for folks who don't know, is the was the strength and conditioning coach at the University of Michigan for the men's basketball program. In addition to the men's basketball program, though, he also coached or conditioned rather athletes for several Olympian programs. I didn't realize this. Michigan has an Olympian.
Yeah, it's annoying. It comes up every 4 years, and they're like, "Oh, we have more medalists than Belize."
Well,
it's like great. Congrats.
Yeah, next,
we're so proud of you.
No one's proud of them. I'm struck by this. So he has resigned from the university.
Yeah.
Theoretically, his choice. He signed.
No, he says specifically in his statements.
Yeah.
This was not my choice.
He did sign the non-disclosure, so he's apparently able to at least disclose that much.
Well, the email got FOIA'd. So.
Oh, is that what it was? Well, let's hope that he has made just an absolute fuck ton of money, because he deserves every penny. And I know nothing about this man, and I don't really care to. But what is alleged to have happened in the course of this investigation around the documents that were FOIA'd and everything else, Sanderson, the strength and conditioning coach, oversaw Jace Howard, the son of Michigan coach, Juwan Howard, if we can call him a coach, berating one of the other trainers. Jace has been out this season or for some time anyway with a stress fracture.
Right.
And berating the training staff. I should be in now. Why aren't you clearing me? And then raising his voice, getting very agitated. John Sanderson, you know, interjected himself and said, you know, young man, calm down. You are a student athlete. He is a professional. This is not how student athletes speak to professionals.
Right.
That response was enough to set Juwan Howard into
a rage,
full unhinged moments.
In fairness to Juwan Howard,
yes,
I think what happened there is he had a flashback, and he said, "Is that Sanderson?
Yep.
Or is that Demac Turgeon? Oh, Demac Turgeon. Oh, I can see him. I get so mad, Demac Turgeon. Oh, Demac Turgeon. Oh, I see Demac Turgeon. He's so mad."
What I want folks who are watching to know is that we haven't been able to see the alter ego that Kevin Greck adopts when becoming Mark Turgeon.
When I become Juwan Howard, seeing Mark Turgeon.
Well, it's really upsetting. And boy, God, he gets upset. Mark Turgeon, Greg Gard, really anyone that he can slap or throw a fist at, he will. Well, as he did, he pursued John Sanderson across the room.
They had to be separated. Had to be physically separated,
restrained. Of course, John Sanderson, like, I was going to hold my own. So that was his own.
He is a big dude.
Well, he's a big guy.
He played basketball.
Played something.
Something at Ohio State.
And there were some emails that went back and forth. Ward Manuel here was able to.
He was like, well, let's enforce Juwan's.
Let's enforce his zero tolerance policy. We're good at that here. He was able to do that by signing a NDA with John Sanderson and releasing him with, I hope, millions of dollars.
I bet not millions of dollars, well, but
let's say hundreds.
Strength coaches make a lot. It is wild that this is the product of, this is what happens with a University of Michigan zero tolerance policy.
Not only that, you have a coach who has struck multiple people, who is fucking deranged.
Yes.
Who cannot coach, whose only success has been on the largesse of John Beilein's success, his ability to recruit and develop talent, and coaching one of the worst programs in Michigan's history.
Yes. I love the largesse. Well, the largesse.
I am.
Oh, thank you.
I am unable to say anything really for Ward Manuel other than cuck. Is there another word? Is there another word for Ward Manuel?
What's worse is that he's a cuck to multiple men.
Oh,
he's
my God!
He's a cuck to Sam Ohno?
Yes.
Cuck to Juwan?
To Juwan?
He's a cuck to Jim Harbaugh?
Who's left, but he's still cucking him. Ward Manuel has no sense of integrity. He is a person bereft of really any sense of self-worth. Could you imagine going through life being Ward Manuel now?
Can we take a pause? Because I think it's easy to take a dump on Michigan. And
sure.
It's
fun.
Well-earned and fun. But could you imagine if this conduct happened from an AD at Michigan State?
Or any other university.
No, but ours in particular.
Truly, can you imagine what would be written about in the free press if Tom Izzo needed to be restrained from his strength and conditioning coach?
Yeah. Or another coach in the Big Ten.
God. Many of these things.
Because on camera at a game, he struck a man in the face.
Yeah.
Because Tom gets it for going after a player with intensity.
Yeah.
Which, by the by, there are zero reports of or any indications of Tom Izzo striking a player.
Ever.
I'm sure he says some unkindly things to them.
No, I bet it's all very delicate.
Mm-hmm. What's wild is I don't know that I've ever seen him go after AJ in that way and people who need it. But
this isn't the point.
But it truly, for Ward to keep his job it feels in line with what we've seen in politics.
Yeah.
Of the, if I just don't say anything, nothing's going to happen.
Yes.
And he's living that life.
Yeah.
Because he got bent over by Harbaugh 3 years in a row.
Correct.
And then there's the, he took the shame.
Yep.
Just ate the shame for what happened with Mel Pearson.
Yep. Yeah. The whole hockey
Juwan Howard, we've moved to it. Well, first there was Xavier Simpson, Jeff Jackson, whatever his name is, with his car.
Yep. His wife's car.
Truly.
But then there's the zero tolerance policy with Juwan. Like, this is, and then Santa Ohno regularly debasing him in public.
Undermining him and at every step of the way.
Yep. I just.
Stealing the thunder. Yeah,
and it feels at some point in time, frankly, the Santa Ohno stuff makes it seem validated, and I just, which means that Ward doesn't actually deserve the blame here.
Mm.
It's not Ward.
Yeah,
it's the trustees. It's the alumni.
Yep.
It's your students. It's your fan base. Yep. It's your president. It's everybody who has
enabled this idiot.
So, U of M fans, if you're listening,
yeah.
I actually blame all of you because you are actually the pieces of shit.
You're a rotten institution to the core.
Because you tolerate this because all you say.
Leaders in the best.
Is we just want a natty, so who cares?
Yep. That's right. No standards.
Speaking of which, should we talk about Josh Gattis for just a hot second?
Oh, yeah, why not?
This is one rumor that we never trafficked in.
No, 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 no. So the rumor was, yes, there was a well-populated rumor.
This was almost like, what do you want to call it? This was like just accepted fact. Mm-hmm. This was Chris Allen, Darrell Summers' girlfriend type.
And it seemed like it, but it became accepted fact because Michigan fans needed to rationalize losing out on a recruit,
right,
despite the fact that the recruiting is taking a nosedive despite all of their success.
Sure.
But
can't imagine why.
There's a recruit, now player, Xavier Worthy. Mm-hmm.
Well, now in the NFL Combine.
Yeah. Now in the NFL Combine, who Michigan did not land. And the rumor was that, again, well-trafficked to the extent that it became apocryphal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find this word eventually.
Yeah.
That is, I believe that's the appropriate use.
Sure, okay. Apocryphal.
Yeah.
This is your whole job.
I think it's the polite version of Wives' Tale, right? Apocryphal is that we're not going to gender this nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's sort of lore that begins.
That's why I don't know it.
That's why you don't know it.
Yeah, misogyny only, everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
So that Josh Gattis slept with Xavier Worthy's mother.
Just got.
And that's why Xavier Worthy didn't come to Michigan, which... Yeah. Looking back on it now, I think we can all agree feels precisely like the thing they would say to justify not landing a recruit.
It's also something that we've talked about before. It's like, this is what these types of rumors always are.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Always sleeping with the recruits.
Yeah. Mother. Something, something.
And we're not going to dissect the racial component of this either for a moment. But so Josh Gattis finally chimes in.
Yeah.
And says, A, no.
Yeah.
B, I have some stories to share about the way recruiting went down at Michigan, which seemed to be, the implication was, are in keeping with some of the violations
that the NCAA is actively investigating them for. And he didn't say, seems to be violations. He said, do y'all want me to talk about the violations?
Yes. As I have receipts.
There are violations. He even said that the Rivals guys know what all of the violations are. So, which is fun because the Michigan Rivals guys are real annoying. Yeah. Just carrying that water for the institution all over the place.
Remembering because I know we've at times used things from, and it's not to say that there's an apples to apples, but we've at times used things from, say, Justin Thind or.
Who was interviewed. In the Miller
Chevalier.
Or Corey Robinson, Stephen Brooks. We've talked about his tweets at times. But it is worth remembering that many of those people who are paid by those publications are not journalists.
Sure.
I think Stephen does a really great job of trying to be, a journalist who covers MSU.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's a bit worse over on the U of M side than what we've got over here, but it is worth remembering that when you read things from folks who are from Rivals or 24/7 or On Three, that like, because let's not pretend that Jim Comperoni is as insightful as he can be at times.
Yeah.
Isn't a jabroni just like the three of us?
Yep.
And so he may know a bit more about X's and O's, but like, so the idea that Rivals would be sitting on information is not altogether alarming.
Yeah.
They're not journalists.
Anyway.
Josh Gattis, throwing receipts around, and also Ward Manuel. Wouldn't you believe it?
Talking about throwing things around, let's talk about Caitlin Clark throwing her own body around.
Well, we're going to celebrate her first.
All right. Here, let's do this quickly because this is...
Yeah. All right.
So let's find some time back during the Caitlin Clark segment.
Yeah. No. It's needless to say, Caitlin Clark passed Pete Maravich, and that's a massive accomplishment.
Wow.
To a new scoring leader in college basketball.
And I believe she found out someone called her Ponytail Pete. The image is shockingly mirrored. And she liked the comparison.
Oh, good.
So, she was
a confident, handsome woman. That's very good.
And did you see the technical that was...
For punching? She, well, who amongst us hasn't celebrated a Draymond from time to time? So... I don't think we're prepared to cast stones
here.
It was
a good tweet. I don't know who came up with it. I should be able to cite it. But is Caitlin Clark the most likable, unlikable player in college basketball?
It was good.
It was like, you got it. You kind of like...
They named it.
Yeah. Finger on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse is correct.
Last up on our Off Grand River segment is the NCAA is pausing all investigation into booster funding.
No more rules.
As it relates to recruiting.
Yeah, no rules.
Well, this is probably related to that case.
Right? Give the money
away. It is indeed, and is begging for an antitrust exemption.
Please.
We talked about this last week, and I think it bears repeating. The challenge that the NCAA is going to face is this idea of an antitrust exemption implies that there's some anti-competitive rules that they would like to agree upon. I don't actually think that they have anti-competitive rules they'd like to agree upon. What they want to do is just not pay student athletes.
Yeah, it's just get out of it.
So, and what I mean by that, there's an anti-competitive rule in every single professional sports league that you see, and that is the draft. That we are agreeing that the free market is not going to dictate where people's talents go. And in order to do that, they've engaged in collective bargaining. They've done some offsets, right? Like there is checks and balances that give them the antitrust exemption. But the NCAA has not come up with anything like that because they can't. And that's not me putting down their sort of intellectual capacity, which is worth putting down. But truly, like, what are you going to do? Draft out of high school? Are you going to rely on the 24/7 ratings? Like,
right.
What are you going to do here? And maybe there's a plan. Maybe the NCAA buys one of these recruiting services and does something there. But the challenge for all of that is also that for the moment, your education is also tied to your ability to play sports. So, you know, why would you want to go as a high school student to the University of Michigan to graduate to be a douchebag when you could go to Michigan State and get an excellent education and not be a douchebag?
As we chose to do, huh?
But so this is a bit of a challenge. And I think the NCAA needs to articulate itself a little bit better here. But this latest sort of sad, pathetic begging on behalf of Charlie Baker.
Yeah, just debases himself.
Like, Congress, please, but you need to say what you want.
What you want. And he can't articulate a clear vision because he doesn't know.
There is
not one. There
isn't one. And credit to Charlie Baker, he's the one who proposed the, like, oh, schools can fund. Like, he's at least trying to give some progressive answers here.
Yeah.
But you need a real vision for this that you just don't have. Yeah. And so, I don't know, like, this is... I don't know whether we said this on the pod, but you made this point about the NIL, that if the school started paying players, that doesn't stop your boosters.
Right. There's nothing about this that's going to stop the boosters from doing it as well.
Why is Matt and SUBN not going to continue to cut a check? Just because MSU cuts a check. So anyway, we're going to keep talking about this stuff because I think it's relevant, but let's talk about
Purdue. No, tell us about Purdue.
Oh, let me just go ahead and preview Purdue here. Have you guys heard of Zach Edey? He's a big fella. He's a big fella. He throws his weight around. Here's my previews. You ready for this?
Yeah, go. Cool.
We're playing Northwestern Indiana, and you want to win both these games. Yeah. Otherwise, it gets tight. It's tricky. All of a sudden, you need to win some games in the Big Ten tournament, and I got bad news.
Uh-huh.
We already lost to Northwestern.
Yeah.
And the other game is on the road at Assembly Hall.
Yeah, never a good
place
for us.
Where we don't tend to win.
Correct.
So I'm a little bit nervous, and it's more interesting to me to talk about that than it is to talk about these two teams, because they are kind of both just sort of middling.
But like, let me ask this.
Boo-booey.
What if we just show up and we just give it the old college try?
Oh, you know what?
Will that be good enough?
There's a guy I know.
Yeah.
You might have heard of him. Willie Call. He said
so, okay.
That the important thing is that they win on the road and they play real hard.
They play hard.
And it doesn't matter what the outcomes of the game
is. No, you don't have to win.
No. What matters is that game, that one time they decided to try.
They tried hard, and the guy showed up.
And
they played hard.
He acknowledges that that means that they definitely didn't try a bunch of other games.
Right. And that is fine? Acceptable?
That's senior leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've come to expect and, frankly, at this point, deserve.
AJ Hogard, gonna miss some long twos.
All right, let's do these Twitter questions.
Yeah, that's
fine. All right. In the future, we might have to do screen share on these and just go through the Twitter. That might be a more engaging way.
People want to see their own questions. But, so that would require you people to use punctuation. You can't read.
And then we would actually subjecting people directly to what Tyrone Couch writes.
Can you blur on YouTube?
I think that is a human rights violation.
Truly.
So. All right. Confusing. First up, Mike Jones asks, Greg, since you are tall, are you able to run around anywhere and physically abuse people without repercussions? Or is it just Zach Eady who gets to do that?
He
did that earlier today.
At first, this is true. I thought this was a Juwan Howard question.
That's good.
That became a Zach Eady question. Honestly, truly, I did. That's where I thought this was going.
Running around abusing people.
Next up from Mike Jones. Greg, this also feels like it's for you. Thinking you take a road trip to Canada for our honeymoon the first week of July.
Oh.
Niagara Falls, Toronto, maybe the Sioux Locks. Got any cool suggestions for places to see in Ontario?
My suggestions for cool places to see in Ontario would be do not go to the Sioux Locks or Niagara Falls.
Ah.
So the Niagara
Falls. Just go to Montreal, which is not in Ontario.
Correct.
Yes.
Go to Montreal.
While we were wedding planning,
yes,
I was introduced, and this is a little name drop that I'm doing right now.
Okay, do it.
To the mayor of Niagara Falls at that time. And he was like, are you guys honeymooning here? We are, you know, the honeymoon capital of the world. And I had to look the mayor of Niagara Falls in the eye and say, no, sir, we are not honeymooning Niagara Falls. Because I've been to Niagara Falls, and I know better than to do that again.
No, Mike Jones, you want to go to Hamilton, and you know why, because you're a Canusa alumnus.
Where did we go to Interpol at? Was that Hamilton?
That was London.
London.
Another place that you don't want to go. So I would recommend go to Toronto, and then maybe cottage country.
Just stay there.
Get your ass to Quebec. Come on. You get yourself to Montreal. Enjoy it. Eat the poutine. You're going to have a better time.
That would be... Mike Jones, either cottage country or Montreal. Those are my recommendations.
Yes.
Next up, Beth Amaro, is having only one player in the NFL Combine a further indictment of the Tucker era? What's a reasonable expectation going forward? Can we take any satisfaction that our one guy scored better than 10 of U of M's in the 18. U of M's 18 in the Combine? So
isn't this more of an indictment of
Tucker?
Oh, it is?
No, I think this is on D'Antonio still.
Oh, on D'Antonio.
This is still on D'Antonio.
Like, honestly, 2 years of Tucker.
Listen, I mean, no one was saying that D'Antonio was performing well toward the end. I mean, this has been the indictment. So, I mean, what? We should be expecting these guys to have developed in some way? Yeah. We think Tucker was going to develop?
I guess that's fair.
It's a bit of column A, a bit of column B, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that we should be surprised.
It also hurts that our best player from the season before this went to Florida State. And it's doing quite well in the combine. So
But I do it's worth remembering that Blake Corum is slow, and
that was really good to see.
He's slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I don't know what his test scores were. The quotes coming out of the combine, by the way, there was one quote that came out about not believing in planets.
Yeah. That was a Texas A&M player?
No.
I think it was doesn't believe in space.
Yes.
Not sure about space.
Wasn't sure about it. Didn't know about space.
Yep.
Space, time, anything else. That's good. Next up, another guy that doesn't believe in space, JD_JerBear. Does Greg also have a hard time in his annual reviews with management, not knowing how to properly rate him?
Mm.
What with the long arms and the whey protein powder meals and all?
Yes.
Talk more about your annual performance reviews.
Here's how my annual performance reviews go. I walk in.
Yeah.
I sit down.
Yeah.
And they think you're normal sized because of the camera.
And they scream in horror. And they're just so alarmed at me and my visage and pale chest.
Do more.
Yeah. That they're just like, just leave the room.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever score you need.
Whatever we need. And that's how it's done. And that's how I survive in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Jensen.
It's working.
Jensen next up from Jer Bear. More excited to see done with Big Ten basketball, Zach Edey or AJ Hogard? Can we throw Boo Booey in here for funsies?
It is.
There's only one answer.
Truly, the worst part of COVID is all of these players sticking around for so long.
And the thing is, I think we're all being naive to suggest that AJ Hogard, we are done with him.
Oh.
Which is to say, I'm not. Hear me out.
Okay.
You know whose team doesn't have a point guard? Truly. Illinois does not have a point guard.
Please stop.
I'm just saying.
Please.
I think AJ Hogard is done at Michigan State, but I don't know that he's done with Big Ten basketball.
Let me say this about that. I have said on this podcast countless times that if you don't graduate and finish your playing career at Michigan State University, you are not a Spartan. Nope. If he goes to Illinois, nothing will make me happier than being able to say that he is a failing Illini. And that.
But he will have kissed the Spartan.
Well, that's if he comes back in orange, he has to reverse kiss.
He has to reverse kiss.
He has to be like,
sort of a face-sucking situation. A Tenet situation. Yes. We've got a Tenet situation.
Finally. Got back around to Tenet.
Got a Tenet reference. Next up from ZX Xanders. Did Big Ten refs get a memo we haven't heard about? The 3-second violations don't apply to Purdue.
I wasn't counting those.
Does that mean I get to do this for 3 seconds?
Just choke me harder. Choke me harder. Oh,
all right. Okay. My God.
Next up, ZX Sanders. Is it a requirement that at all times Purdue has a player that could be cast as...
I don't know.
I don't know this character. I'm not prepared to say it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Blazing Saddles is one of those films that I've never actually watched.
Oh no, yeah, you need to. Richard Pryor.
I'm getting a look of incredulity here from Cliff Jones.
Well
off
done,
camera.
And Cliff should, because
get me a shitload of pickles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay. I think we're clear. I just had to make sure. Mongo from Blazing Saddles.
Sure. It is a requirement.
Well, this is a reference to the fact that Purdue has another
7-3
dude wings, coming
right?
in.
Just coming on in.
So, yes.
Yeah. Matt Painter knows how to pick him. But listen, until Matt Painter can get to the Final Four, this strategy ain't working out for him.
Next up from Sarah G, who has been... I want to credit Sarah because she's been fantastic in her... she's joined the Kate Wall tribe of loving and defending Malik.
Quadrupling down.
Which I think we would all agree, because what we didn't talk about is that Malik actually played a really great game and should have gotten more touches.
I wanted him to take over the game when he chose not to take over
because
the game.
He refuses to do anything.
And that's the problem. Yeah. But Sarah asks, my question is, why?
Why?
Sarah, I think you know the answer.
Yeah.
His name is not a name, it's just two letters.
Yeah. The Germans, the word for why in German is Warum, and you can say Warum, and the response can just be Darum. Like, Warum?
Darum.
It just means because. Why not? Fuck off. Darum.
The official language of hate.
Yeah.
Next up, Ali asks, LOL, why did Rima Vassar have to try and involve a group of people super important to me? In her poorly thought out political machinations.
Well, I'll answer that question. It's because she listened to The Search, Holly, and she fucking hates you, dude.
Yeah.
Really did not like that podcast. And I think one of the things that would have helped it was if they had had greater diversity in who was interviewed. I think, you know.
Or if maybe they followed through on their commitments.
That's.
When they reach out to certain individuals.
What I mean.
Or wanted representation from certain.
Were there only straight voices on that podcast?
I think so. Not attractive.
It was actually called The Search for a Better Red Pill Podcast. That was all underneath.
It was all
there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
But Ali does rightly point out that there was some using of ethnic minority groups.
Correct.
By Rima Vassar.
Yep.
Denlo.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, honestly, Dennis, you should have changed your name.
I mean, if you don't know what the guy looks like, just think about Dennis Deno. You got it.
Nailed it.
You nailed it.
Next up,
from Unusual Botanical
Jazz. Oh.
Which factor is more important when it comes to making the tournament? A, winning out the regular season, or B, stumbling against Northwestern and IU, but getting at least to the semis of the tournament? Does one give us more of an edge?
I think you need to win the team.
You have to win out the regular season.
Yeah. Just win. Just win.
Just win.
But I'm glad that we hit our quota for talking through burps on this podcast.
Yeah. Wasn't me this time.
Check your bingo card for the talky burp. Yeah. Thank you, Jess.
Kate Wall, up next. Oh, gosh. Kate, you...
Is the strategy for 34, that's Xavier Booker, working? He looks ready now, rolling into March, and he's getting more serious playing time.
12 minutes.
Yeah, Kate, it has worked.
Sure,
that's what's frustrating.
Yes, and more to the point, I think let's not say to this. Let's not call this a strategy. It's really giving Tom and his ilk more credit than I think they've earned.
I think there is a strategy. It's just the incorrect strategy and an out of date strategy. It's a strategy that's not being updated for new information as it becomes available.
Data was meaningful at one point about 3 months ago.
Yes. So I think it is, it's a choice, as the kids say.
Yeah,
as they tell me.
She adds, this is my fault. Uh-huh. He should have played more than he has in every game so far. I'm only saying that he is saying what's been done was one possible way to prioritize his growth. I don't know.
In parentheses, please don't yell at me.
And I don't know that we would have said that he should have played more in every game.
No, it's just want to know.
Lately, it's very clear he's ready to play.
Yes.
Next up from Kate Wall, can you name two players on the team? Obviously, Tyson is one. You trust more to get a crucial bucket or just a bucket in general over Malik. What does it say about the dependability? Attaching a random tweet for no reason. And I didn't include your tweet. But I think, it was one of the responses to Sarah G about her, which is that Malik is shooting a super high percentage. And I think.
Well, and again, it's easy to shoot a super high percentage when you're not shooting very much at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's the critique that I would have for Malik as a senior on this team in a program who needs guys to step up when Tyson's having a flat night, when AJ is having a shit night. That's every night. When you can't get things rolling, Malik has to be the guy that is willing to take more of those opportunities. So sure, okay, good shooting percentage. If he isn't trying more, if he's not stepping into some of that vulnerability, fuck it.
So to make your point, in conference, Malik Hall is our most efficient offensive player and is shooting 54% from three. And it's a product of only taking wide open threes.
Yeah, only good
threes. It's almost as if there's an inherent flaw in this question that Malik Hall will not take the shot at the end of the game.
She's not talking about that. I think it's crucial buckets. Like there were in that last 5-4 minute stretch against Purdue, they were all crucial buckets.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's on Tom and that's on AJ for not setting up plays that involve Malik on the low block.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, Kate, to your question, I don't disagree. The problem is that either the team isn't setting Malik up for success or he's not seizing the opportunity in those moments, because I will take Malik post touches all day long.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who that's on, but the fact of the matter is that Malik Hall with 8 shots against Purdue is not enough shots. This reminds me of 2 years ago, Tyson Walker. We're like, please, bro,
shoot more. Do more. There's also a problem that Tyson Walker is not the player that he was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he is really involved.
Yeah.
Next up, Keetsky. AJ took more than 10 shots. We lost. He's the worst point guard we've had. I'd rather have Tum Tum.
We basically podcasted this. Keetsky, sometimes we should just have you on to do
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing about Tum Tum. If we had a 5, I would co-sign on that statement hard.
There it is.
But we don't have a scoring threat from the 5.
Yeah.
So I can't quite authentically agree with this statement.
Yeah.
Right. If you had Nick Ward on this team,
fine.
Great. Yeah. Fine. Paul Davis? Yes, please. Xavier Tillman.
Maybe a little less Xavier Tillman, only because he needs a point guard to get rolling. Next up from the Kiski, tickets to games are way too expensive. Changed my mind.
No.
I've got great news for you, Kiski. To get in the building against Northwestern, $13 U.S. dollars. So
you'll be fine.
Yeah, just pick up the couch cushion. You can go to the Northwestern game. That is senior night.
Get some Dogecoin. Next up from Kiski, y'all don't talk about NIL enough. I think most of our listeners would suggest we talk about it too much.
I think he thinks that we have more individual NIL information than we do.
We don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would disappoint you on that. Yes,
very much.
Yeah. Next up, Spartan 18770. Who is worse? Rank them. Mel Tucker, Brady Hoke, John L. Smith, Juwan Howard.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is actually...
This is difficult.
We would have set this aside for a segment fish in years past, but...
Yeah, we're going to take it.
Yeah.
All right. I think if we were Michigan... We're going to say from the Michigan State perspective alone.
Sure. We have to.
So if any of these coaches coached for Michigan State is the answer.
Okay.
I think Juwan Howard has to be the worst.
Yeah.
100%.
I think number two is John L. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. I don't know.
Then Brady Hoke, then Mel Tucker.
Oh, no, I don't. I was
going to. I might invert Brady Hoke and Mel Tucker.
I would. Mel Tucker is not the best of these.
Yeah, no, I think Brady Hoke is. I think you would take Brady Hoke.
I think you would absolutely take Brady Hoke over Mel Tucker. Yeah. Hold on, think about it. Yeah. You got to think about it. Brady Hoke, I mean, he didn't do much, but he recruited at a high level. Mel Tucker proved nothing. And Mel Tucker failed. I mean, this was a moral failure.
Brady Hoke? Well, yes. Okay, I'm setting aside the moral failure.
Okay, I don't think you can. And that's why also Juwan Howard for me is worse.
Okay. So if that's true, then you have to put Mel Tucker towards the bottom as well. If you're...
Because Mel Tucker's only success came because of Kenneth Walker. Like, Mel Tucker gets no credit for the success of this.
But Brady Hoke lost to Toledo, I believe. A Toledo team that fired its coach that same year.
I don't know. In some ways, I don't know. I mean, Mel Tucker, I don't know.
That might have been Rich Rod. I don't remember which one did that.
Yeah.
But that's rough, man. Spartan 18770. Oof. That's
good question.
I'm just saying.
Next up.
Yeah.
How do we get the university to allow tailgating at the spring game?
It's a good question.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. If enough people come, they won't be able to repel all of them.
I have been caught drinking on campus during the spring game, and the nice police officer said, just pour it out. And I was like, okay, deal.
See, you're way too comfortable with a roadie. I am not that comfortable. But we should mention at some point, we won't now, about the time that you just failed to go down a few blocks to take care of some things. And because the money, maybe, or the time.
I don't even know what this is in reference to.
Well, there's a building. I think it's on Albert. A house of sorts.
A house. Some kind of house.
A government house. Where they were offering a deal to... get rid of things from your past life.
Okay.
And you opted
not to do this
because it cost money, I think, or time.
Could have
it's
been
not
both.
Clear what. Anyway,
roadie related. Next up from Spartan 18770. Where would MSU be today if Izzo had stayed at Tulsa as an assistant?
Oh my.
That's a real segment of fish. We've got to set that aside.
Yeah.
Next.
On Friday, as a decent chunk of our fan base fretted over the inevitable loss to Purdue, both our gymnasts and hockey teams won the Big Ten. Saturday went so much better for those who paid attention Friday. Why don't more fans at least try to enjoy other sports? Nate, I think this is part a broadcasting problem.
Yeah, BTM Plus.
Part an understanding problem. The fact of the matter is, Nate, I appreciate that you like hockey.
Yeah.
As someone who played hockey, it is not a lot of fun to watch. Like, I don't think hockey is a great TV sport.
Oh,
and you know what? Big Ten Network agrees.
Wow.
That's why they don't broadcast it. Hockey is much better enjoyed in person. Mm-hmm.
I'm on board with that. It's like baseball.
It's the opposite. Right. There are some sports that the opposite is true. Football, I think, is more better enjoyed on TV.
Because it takes 4 hours for the goddamn thing to happen.
Oh my God.
But so, horrible. I don't, and I think with gymnastics, candidly,
I don't, when someone lands a 9.825 and a 10, I couldn't tell you the fucking difference.
Yeah.
Because what they just did was an incredible athletic accomplishment in either instance.
That's right.
And it, like with figure skating, unless someone biffs on a loop, like, do you know?
It is fun when they biff, though.
It is.
I like a biff.
Love a biff. I'd see him bite the mat. Nate, your second question is really a rehearse of the first. We're going to go right to Beppe Plum.
Wait, hold on.
No, I already read it. I was sick this week, Beppe writes, so I got nothing. Other than they have found the likely spot of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there is evidence of a flash of heat similar to an atomic blast. So, don't make God mad. Now you know.
Okay. This is you.
That's for
this
me.
This is your territory.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to.
Do you know about this flash of heat?
I don't. I'm going to look this up.
You don't even know about this flash of heat?
The atomic flash of heat in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Got to be a bathhouse. Next up, rant of the week. Government funding and expectations. How can you cut funding 9 years in a row and be upset that students are not growing? Remember Michigan schools in the 90s? They were 2+ years ahead of Tennessee schools. Now they have fallen behind.
Oh,
sad.
God.
Soon you'll have an awful accent, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. The real tricky part of this is even communities that vote for Mills to put more funding in the schools, still falling behind.
Yeah.
So...
we're not going to have time, but this is a bipartisan failure.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats do not have a better policy. The Republicans want to strip all money out of public education.
Yeah.
Indefensible. The Democrats beholden this to unions, and particularly when there's a complete unwillingness to really, not just means test, but to really think critically around what public education strategy has to be. No political party has figured this out, and it is a full race to the bottom. And Michigan is real proof in the pudding that we have got inept people.
I mean, that was
this
a better way of saying what I think I was trying to say, which was like throwing money at it.
Yep.
Doesn't seem to fix anything.
Yep. It's a mix of accountability and funding, and neither side really wants to get right with both of those.
Next up from Mamapaleef, Lance.
We should apologize. Sorry, Raymond Chains.
I didn't get a notification.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
we didn't check, but
my bad.
But it might be your fault still too. We're not sure. Okay.
Next up, Mamapaleef, LSJ. I refute most of the allegations in the Miller Chevalier report. Said Denno. I'll accept the censure, but contest any other form of punishment. What has been proposed is overly punitive in nature. End quote. So some. Is refutable, air quotes, and he decides punishment. What do you say?
He's an idiot. Susan, come on. I mean,
this is one of the true, on one side, the way that we choose trustees, you get people that are giving it their all, whether it's self-interest or because they care about the university.
Yep.
But it self-selects out people that understand how a board should function, and it self-selects out people with better things to do with their time.
Yes.
And what you get is self-interested idiots that have no accountability that can only be removed by the governor.
And this is a guy, by the way, who tried multiple times, and they kept saying, please God, no, not him.
That is something that we haven't talked about.
Please God, no, not him.
And he's the only moron.
Yeah.
Who didn't make any of his data available to the investigators.
No, Rima too. Neither gave their phones to the investigators. Well,
Rima did in the first investigation.
But not this one.
In the first one, Denno's not. I think it was Jones Day. I think it was Jones Day.
Okay.
Did the report, and they're like, well, as far as we can tell, the leak didn't come from the board. Except. Notably, though, we didn't get to examine one jabroni's phone.
Yeah.
So,
Yep. Yep. No, if he had any self-respect, he would resign. And the governor's going to have to do the hard thing.
You wouldn't even need last night's meeting in most cases.
Correct.
Most cases, even just the allegations, and you would get some kind of idea of what the findings are going to be.
The fact that there's a recording, they're on tape saying this, and there's still, the lack of self-respect is stunning.
It is. We said it at the top, like the idea that these two are enduring these.
Oh my God.
This humiliation.
Yes.
Like, why?
Yeah.
You.
Last up, Mamapaleef.
Yeah.
The good difference, the quote, good, end quote, difference maker. Booker, Cooper, Kohler, going into this week's game. Mama, I believe that's way too many question marks. Going into this week's game, how can you not escape 1 week without asking a terrible question? She says, I'm going with Booker.
That's your guy. That's you're your with guy, Mama. You're the Mama believer.
I'm too annoyed at this point in time.
The host, you
it's
like
Davis,
him.
It's Davis Smith. It's Davis it's Smith.
Davis like Smith, you were here first.
Look, I think all of these centers have a role on the team.
Yeah.
Other than Mati Sissoko.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see Kiss the Spartan, bro. But the fact of the matter is that Booker offers something incredibly different.
Yep.
And it's the plus minus bears it out. Like,
yep.
Flawed stat in one instance, start aggregating that.
Yep.
It tells a story.
Ball screens are the other thing that matters, though.
Oh, we're talking about ball screens.
All right, gentlemen, go green.
Go Whites.